You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
10 days. 10 days away from the big game, and the stage is getting set in Glendale, Arizona for Super Bowl 57. It kicks off Sunday, February 12th, 6:30 p.m. Eastern on Fox. But keep it right here on NFL Network. Right up until then, we'll have you covered with a ton of pregame coverage and Pro Bowl coverage and anything that's happening. We got you covered. Good Morning Football, presented by Old Trapper Beef Jerky. Live here in New York City, it's Thursday, February 2nd. I'm Jamie Erdahl. That's Peter Schrager. Jason McCourty. Sean O'Hara here.
Great morning. Huge day today, guys. Huge day. It's Groundhog Day.
Is it?
Today's Groundhog Day. Oh, we're going to find out.
Okay, let's do it. You know who's experiencing Groundhog Day already is Kyle Brandt, because he's in Las Vegas, and when you wake up in Vegas, it's just the same. You're just on a loop, and it just keeps going and going. Kyle, how you doing out there?
I'm doing great. I hope I experienced Groundhog Day. I got a view of the Rio right over here. I can see the Thunder Down Under poster. Yesterday, guys, I went to the Raiders facility, which is not far from here and not a subtle edifice. Big old torch outside. Saw a lot of the Pro Bowl players, talked to a bunch of them. The 49ers are here, sort of. Those poor bastards have still got that glazed over look in their eye from the title game. I'll tell you about it later. And I got to talk to Snoop, who says he watches Good Morning Football every day. So he's probably watching right now. So hi, Snoop. Everybody say hello.
Hi, Snoop Dogg. Not to be confused.
Snoop. Hi, Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Got my gin and juice socks on for you.
That jacket is knowing Groundhog Day, because we just know Kyle Brandt's going to wear it for like a week straight. Because Snoop said it was awesome.
He didn't
want to take it. Kyle's like, I'm going to keep this on my person.
Yeah.
I know, right? All right, thanks, Kyle. We'll talk to you in a little bit. Time for the lead block.
Lead block.
So the Chiefs came away with a win against the Bengals in the AFC title game, but it didn't come without a price. Now, we know Patrick Mahomes was injured going into that game, but wide receivers Mecole Hardman, Kadarius Toney, Juju Smith-Schuster, and safety Ladarius Snead all left the AFC Championship game with injuries. Now, yesterday, the Chiefs didn't practice. Again, we're 10 days out, but they released an estimated injury report, and all four of those names would not have practiced.
An estimated
if
one.
They would have practiced. Okay. An estimated injury report, like, kind of like a projection screen. Yeah. You're just smirking, like, why are we talking about this?
I can't believe you're not practicing.
This is the lead block, Jason. Like, okay,
this is so the
we're
big
10
week
days
to practice.
Away, and we're just scraping the surface for things to talk about. Chiefs injuries, the progress. Is this something that you are most concerned about, or is there something else that is at the top of mind, Peter?
You know, going into this thing, we survived the AFC Championship game if you're Mahomes, and it's like we survived the Jaguars second half if you're Mahomes with that ankle, but like this Eagles team is coming, and they are healthy, and that defensive line just put a beating on the 49ers, and you could say, well, that was Purdy's first drive. Look, Purdy didn't hurt himself going back and twisting his knee. Purdy didn't hurt himself handing the ball off and having some crazy accident. Purdy hurt himself because the guy blew by the protection and knocked him in the elbow and knocked him out of the game. If you're Mahomes, I'm curious, how are you going to be? All these other guys who went down and couldn't finish the game, what version of Mahomes are we going to get? Is he back 100%? Is he back 90%? Is he back 80%? Because I honestly, with this Chiefs team and what they've accomplished, I don't know if it's enough to get to another Super Bowl. I think they want to win this whole thing, and we know that. I think they almost have to win this whole thing. If we're talking about legacies and the history of sport, like I did this a couple weeks ago, came on here before the Jaguars game. I said, Steelers were the 70s, Niners were the 80s, Cowboys were the 90s, Patriots were the early 2000s, Patriots were the 2010s. The Chiefs, you win these two, you already, like, you have a good lead into being the team of the 2020s. A whole generation of kids saw you play in five straight AFC Championship games at home. Whole generation of kids saw you win multiple Super Bowls. Whole generation of kids saw you play in three. And to me, you lose this one? Well, the Seahawks were really good in the mid-2010s. The Eagles were really good in the early 2000s. The Rams were really good in the 90s. They obviously had the, you know, very short. Those are one-ring teams. You know, like, go in that second, you go from great to all-time teams. And I know that's being very dramatic, and I'll probably hit that drum a few times over the next few weeks or the next 10 days. But to me, it's like, Mahomes hurt. None of these guys available right now. Does he have another trick in the bag, another rabbit in the hat? I'm fascinated to see what version of Mahomes we get. And I don't even know if it matters who's around him. He was making big plays to Marcus Kemp and to Valdez Scantling. And, of course, you know, guys that weren't expected, Noah Gray and the others, when it needed him most. So, to me, it's Mahomes. Can they get that second chip?
Mm. Yeah. Nothing tougher than being a one-hit wonder, you know, right?
But they're not a one-hit wonder.
I hear you.
This is not a team that went, right said Fred, is that the reference?
There's a difference.
I'm too sexy. Is that what you went with?
Yeah, I mean, that was it.
Peter wants to make sure he checks his references with Sean O'Hara.
Flop a little bit. Look, I've got a lot of concerns about this game and things that are going on. My number one concern right now, I'll get back to the Mahomes stuff. Yeah. My number one concern right now is for Donna Kelsey. What are you going to do? The mother of Jason and Travis Kelce, okay. Right? First time this has ever happened in the NFL. Two brothers going against each other. Two sons playing against each other. What is she going to do? Is she going to sympathize? Or is she going to celebrate? Mm. After the game, who are you going with? That's my biggest concern for the aftermath, the aftermath of the game. But during the game, I'm with you on this Mahomes mobility thing. I think the biggest concern is this Eagles pass rush. Can this Chiefs offensive line protect Patrick Mahomes? Now, this Eagles pass rush, we all know about Hassan Reddick and Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, Sweat. Look, they're trying to get after Patrick Mahomes. The last time we saw him in a Super Bowl not have good protection, it was an L. It was against the Bucks. And, I mean, he was doing everything he could, but he was running away from the defense every single play. He was running for his life. He made a throw where he was literally horizontal, and, you know, everybody was oohing and on. But this is what we saw the last time he lost the Super Bowl. He's running for his life. Now, why is this important? And, look, I'm not saying that the Chiefs' offensive line is not good. That's not what it is. This Eagles pass rush is coming, to your point. Mm-hmm. They're getting after it. It was a no contest against the 49ers. It was a TKO in the second round. The Giants, Daniel Jones was running for his life. Here's why this is important, though, for Patrick Mahomes and for his mobility and that ankle. And that's why everybody's got to be focused on this ankle. Can he move? Nobody threw more passes or threw for more yards or more touchdowns outside the pocket last year than Patrick Mahomes. So as much as we think about Patrick Mahomes as, man, he is so gifted in the pocket. Look at the way he throws. He's got every arm angle. This dude does more damage outside the pocket than any quarterback in the league. So it's that ankle, and can he run? Can he do all that stuff? Look at this is the last 5 years right here, Patrick Mahomes. Look at what he's done in the pocket on the left. 683 passes, completions about 58 touchdowns. That's in the pocket on the left, 58 touchdowns. 59 touchdowns outside the pocket. So he's just as productive outside the pocket as he is inside the pocket. That's why that ankle mobility is going
to
be.
Yeah, it's incredible to see what he's able to do. Like, he's a guy who's a dual threat and defines it. I can do damage inside or outside the pocket. And, of course, Mahomes, his health. But now he has multiple days, 2 weeks to get ready for this Super Bowl. I'm more concerned about the supporting cast than I am Mahomes. Going into the AFC Championship game, I was like, I don't know. Like, Mahomes' ankle, is he going to be able to move around and do the things necessary? And then he goes out there, shows the Mahomes magic, and finds a way to get it done. A guy, guys like MVS stepping up, going over 100 yards, scoring a touchdown in that game. We know he came over from the Green Bay Packers, and all season long, it's been that. Who's going to step up for this Kansas City Chiefs team? We already know Travis Kelce, week in and week out, he's going to be there. Throughout the season, they get Kadarius Toney. He steps up. He makes some plays. We saw Noah Gray make a huge catch against the Tennessee Titans to help them win that game. So it's been the supporting cast that have stepped up week in and week out. Now we're going into the Super Bowl, the biggest game of the season. I look at guys like Isaiah Pacheco, Pop, guys like Jerick McKinnon, the running back room for them. Those are two guys that I feel like can step up in a game like this and be surprise MVP-type candidates. Mm-hmm. A guy like Pacheco, he brings a different element to this offense. Every time he touches the ball, it's electric. He gets up fast. He throws the ball to the referee fast. He sprints back to the huddle. It's like that rookie energy. He's coming into a team that so many guys have won, have been to the Super Bowl. He's the new guy, just fired up to be there. Seventh round pick, excited, his journey and everything. One of these two guys I look at when this game is all over could be standing on that podium and we could be talking about Isaiah Pacheco Pop as the MVP of the Super Bowl.
That would be really cool, really special for him. The X's and O's, I think, are like high class in this game. These are really, really talented teams. But the Super Bowl, the guy who wins the Super Bowl, the quarterback of the Super Bowl winning team, let's say, like the cultural impact on that person in particular, like changes the trajectory of their career. You guys know Issa Rae, the comedian and the producer, whatever, and then Zendaya is like this generational talent. There was this interview I saw recently between Issa Rae and Zendaya, and the clip is great. Issa Rae asked Zendaya, how hard is it for you every day to wake up and just feel like, wow, these other people aren't even close? Because Zendaya is like that. I feel like we're teetering on Jalen Hurts. If he wins a Super Bowl, this guy is going to go to the moon. Unbelievable talent on the football field for Jalen Hurts. But his marketability, his cool factor that we have all been seeing, we've been seeing it grow this season. The wins are great. The talent is great. This team is unbelievable. But I think his personality, his marketability within Philadelphia and how this could play nationally for this guy, if he wins a Super Bowl, the sky is the limit for Jalen Hurts. We see it with Patrick Mahomes, the aftermath of winning a Super Bowl, the national commercials, the big insurance companies, the this, the that. I am concerned about if Jalen Hurts wins the Super Bowl, I'm kind of concerned about everybody else in the league because, like, this guy's star power is just going to skyrocket. I know it's kind of a facetious answer, but I just wanted to put that out there.
Issa
because,
Rae
like,
and Zendaya, it was perfect.
Issa Rae and Zendaya, like, hard is it for you to wake up? Well, these other girls aren't even close. It's true. It's a valid question from Issa Rae. Kyle, what do you think about this matchup? What has you losing sleep, which is not hard to do in Las Vegas?
Yeah, I can't sleep at all. My concern, principally and first and foremost, I'm concerned that not enough people know that Jason Kelce and Travis Kelce are brothers. We need to get into this because they are, in fact, brothers. And Sean, I joined the groups of people here in Las Vegas throwing up over balconies, hearing you start the show talking about Donna Kelce. No, Issa Rae and Zendaya, let's talk about Donna Kelce. Donna Kelce, a woman who has to go through the torture this next weekend. Which one of my universally beloved, wildly charismatic, talented, multimillionaire sons will win this game? Both of my sons have already won a Super Bowl. Who will get a second one? Guys, we have talked more about Donna Kelce going into this game than Nick Sirianni, Andy Reid, Frank Clark, Chris Jones, Lane Johnson. We can go and go and go. They're brothers. It's not like when we were kids and it would be like Deion Sanders and Barry Sanders. Are they related? No, they're actually brothers. And if you think I'm sick of it, you want to hear it from me? You know who else is sick of the Kelce brothers' Super Bowl? The Kelce brothers. Yesterday, let me quote from their podcast, Travis Kelce, if the world hasn't fed you this bleep already, let me tell you about it. Jason Kelce, if you're not tired of it yet, which we are, we're going to talk about the Kelce Bowl. I kind of don't like that we're calling it the Kelce Bowl. There are major organizations involved. We're going to get asked this question nonstop from here to the end of the game, and I'm already over it. There are unbelievable storylines in the Super Bowl. That's the actual Kelce brothers. So I'm concerned that people don't know about it. If you're watching this show, the Kelces are brothers. They're playing in the same game. They have a mother. Her name is Donna, and she's going through this existential crisis about which of her wonderful sons is going to win. I want people to know about that. And if you're watching, now you do. It's important stuff.
Thank you, Kyle. Yeah, if that is what you haven't known until this show, then my concern is you've run out of food in your bunker and you are coming out from underneath your basement and your bomb shelter, and here you are, and now you are learning for the first time ever that brothers. They are brothers.
Kyle does make a great point. They both have one already.
Brothers.
Does correct. That make it brothers?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, they won.
All right.
Kyle. I wonder when they were kids who used to they win both more have a ring. Matchups.
That was a question you could ask on media night.
Both of them are
brothers. All right. Thanks, Kyle. Brothers, thank you. Get out of here. Andy Reid is a legend in both Kansas City and Philadelphia. The man had a cake for him when he was let go from Philadelphia. He is beloved. We're going to discuss the impact he's had on both of those cities next from the Peter Schrager Podcast.
Yes.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boog. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name. That's my game,
bro. You guys had the soft serve up there?
You know, the Reed brothers, we know a lot about food. We know a lot about what tastes good.
I put a little Himalayan sea salt on mine.
They have that in the cabin.
You got to ask for it.
Have you ever put Himalayan sea salt on chocolate soft serve?
Put the Himalayan sea salt on there, it's money. No, try the sea salt.
It's life changing. Talk about be great.
Like sometimes I'll roll up and not know what soft serve I'm gonna get and then just close my eyes and hit the lever and whatever comes out, I'm good.
You're a big surprise guy, huh?
I love surprises.
Guys, that's Randy Reid, the brother of Andy Reid, who works at training camp. No, it's Eric Stonestreet, the actor who played Cam on Modern Family. He's a huge Chiefs fan, and every summer he goes and does some fun with the Chiefs as Randy Reid. Mm. He also goes to every single Chiefs home game. He was living in Los Angeles filming Modern Family and was flying in 8 Sundays a year so that he can go to every single Chiefs game. He's been a season ticket holder since 1988. I caught up with him on the latest episode of my podcast, The Season with Peter Schrager. I gotta tell you, we've done Paul Rudd, we've done coaches. I think this might be my favorite episode I've done. Eric was amazing. We talked football, but then we talked Hollywood. Do you know he was almost casted as Kevin from The Office?
Oh, wow.
Was just passed over for Brian Baumgartner. Took him several years, and then he would eventually get Cam, Modern Family, win 2 Emmy Awards. Well, it's all that. It's in the podcast. But I asked about his relationship with Chiefs head coach Andy Reid and when that all began. Take a listen.
You've gotten a chance to get to know Andy Reid at all? And, like, what kind of guy is he for those who don't know Andy the man? They know him as just the figure on television.
You know, I have gotten a chance to get to know him. I can't believe I'm saying that. I was always so intimidated by Coach Reid. And the first interaction we ever had was at a San Diego away game. And I was standing at the top of the tunnel. We had won in dramatic fashion at the end of the game. And he comes to the top of the ramp and he just sees me and he goes like that on my chest.
You're like...
And it was this one, not this one. Like men do it this way. Right. And he just went like that. No words were spoken. And I just was like, that just happened. Coach Reed just acknowledged me. It's like the song, the Prince song, She Spoke to Me. She spoke to me. Coach Reed just slapped my chest. It was insane. That was our first interaction.
They would have several interactions since then. Download the podcast right here. Am I doing this right with the QR code?
You got it, Peter.
Take a camera. And
this one, a little bit closer.
That's not real life. Take a camera and you put that up there. It's a great conversation, and Andy Reid is a central part of it. He also does talk about the Bengals fans quite a bit and says they went from the cockiest franchise of fans in the world to the whiniest in overnight. Anyway, let's get to the Andy Reid part of this thing. Stone Street says he gave him the tap and he was like, oh my God, he acknowledged me. Both fan bases love Andy Reid. How big of a role do you think he plays in this Super Bowl? And just what does he mean to the franchises, Jason?
I mean, he's huge. He's Andy Reid. He's a figure that in Philadelphia was very beloved. And now he goes on to Kansas City, a team that when he got there were struggling and where he's taken them. He's a head coach. This guy's drawn up the plan offensively. And not only that, he's guiding the team through these 2 weeks of preparation. We talked about it earlier. Kansas City, if they had practice, there's a whole thing that you have to do now, Lee, up to the Super Bowl of determining what your team needs to make sure that Sunday that they're ready to go. Is it a full speed practice? Is it a walkthrough? All of those things. I think more importantly, just what Andy Reid represents to be in one organization for so long, fall short, go to another one and win. And now you have an opportunity to win your second one against them. I just think it's very cool. And for fan bases, hey, you're rooting for your Eagles. But at the same time, you see Andy Reid on the other side. If you can't win that game, it's like, well, at least we lost to Andy.
Yeah.
Peter, was that the story? Did he tell the story where someone convinced him to get a suite years ago? And tell us that story. I love
Thanks. I love you listening to the podcast. So Brett Veach, the GM, around 2017, he and Eric had been friends and they had season tickets, but he says, you should get a suite. And Eric's like, I don't. He's like, look, dude, you're on Modern Family. It's been 8 years. You can get a suite. He goes, what? He goes, you're not going to want to miss a single game from this new quarterback.
New quarterback, yep.
Oh, wow.
Buys the suite and he says, I haven't missed a single game. And I've seen my team win a Super Bowl, something I never did as a kid.
James, that's awesome. No, I mean, I love that story, but the fact that he, like, Brett Veach was like, I get it, I see you, because, like, we appreciate how much Stone Street comes in. We have people come on all the time, but for Eric to come in and, like, speak the way he does about the Chiefs, about, like, the league in general, but, like, his love for the Chiefs, to be close with Brett Veach, to be close with Coach, like, besides the point, I just love that story, the fact that he was like, buy the suite. Andy Reid is great. He's beloved. I feel that. I know that, like, oh, it's intimidating. And then the second Andy Reid even looks your way, you're like, okay, he's a good guy. Like, he makes you feel great. I think there's a reason why he's loved in both cities so much, because he is a genuinely good guy. One of my favorites in the league.
Yeah, he's not a big talker, but he's very disarming. And I feel like that's he does that with the players, too. Mm. I had a good college buddy of mine, Dax Strohmeyer. He played with him down in Philly, and he was like, dude, you know, Andy Reid lets guys have a beer the night before a game. Like, just one. He said, hey, I always felt like I had a better night's sleep after a beer. And I'm like, in a world where coaches are, like, so strict about you have to be here and you have to eat this and do this, like, Andy Reid's like, all right, hey, guys, chill out. That's his demeanor everywhere, right? Like, look at his bye week schedule. Look at, like, he's winning games and he's doing it in a different way. Like there's you never see any panic out of Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. You never see any panic from his players. And it's because of the way that he approaches it. He has fun. He's creative. He's almost like the anti-Belichick. Like, if you look at, like, you know, the gruffness and seriousness and the straight lace. And Andy Reid's over here like, hey, there's another way to win.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that Stone Street says, like, he knows everything that's going on. He'll give you an update on Clyde Edwards-Helaire's ankle, but then he'll also be able to tell you what the number one song on the Billboard charts are. He'll tell you what show is trending. He'll reference something from Modern Family. He's like, Andy's just the most aware guy. So when you have a conversation with him, he'll tell you about Kadarius Toney's latest injury, but then in the same breath be like, remember the movie from 1976? He's one of those beautiful minds. A little Kyle Brandt-ish with, like, the ability to just, like, reference things. And he was wearing black Air Force Ones to the game in the AFC Championship game. So he's got a little swag.
And he loves himself a cheeseburger. Loves the cheeseburger.
Yeah, cheeseburger and Himalayan sea salt.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name. That's my game, bro.
Giant safety Julian Love.
Yeah, a lot of love.
The entire hour, you get to hang.
Let's go, let's do it.
Julian, can I tell you something? We've never had Rihanna on our show. We heard that you were coming in. Now we have a soundtrack, Rihanna playing Shine Bright Like a Diamond for you, my friend.
Yes.
What an iconic hit. no, happy to be here, guys.
We've been having a conversation, like, what's she going to lead off with? And that might top the list now.
Yeah, Umbrella has to be in there, right? A Love on the Brain, maybe, I don't know.
Disturbia guy.
Disturbia. Yeah. She could just run through 10 songs, just say single lines from it, and people will just get so decked up. And then who knows what she would do for the next 7 minutes.
Please don't stop the music. Yeah. I won't be there to take it in, so I'm kind of upset.
Yeah, you're right. We won't be there. But we can watch the broadcast of it. It'll be great. I know. That'll be a different type of experience. You've already been, yeah, whatever. We can talk about that. Julian, whole hour you're going to be with us, but this is how we kick things off here. It's time for the lead block.
Lead block.
All right. Julian, the Giants season.
Let's go. The Giants had an amazing year. You guys exceeded expectations. You got a playoff win, obviously, in dramatic fashion. But then you guys lost to the Eagles. Your head coach, Brian Daboll, obviously had a huge hand in that. He's a finalist for AP Coach of the Year at Honors next week. How much of the Giants' success to this season do you attribute to Brian Daboll? And just what's it like playing for Coach Dabes?
It's exciting. I mean, he's just like a big kid, I would like to say. He brought just energy to the building. The staff, the coaches, the players, everyone was juiced up and ready to go all season long. And then on the field, he just let the players be themselves. I think he let personality shine through the play. And as a first-year head coach, that's tough to do. And so I think the honor is rightfully.
So it's next Thursday night. Would you say he's going to win this thing? I mean, I know the season's over, and you're like, well, the championship's all the matter. Well, you didn't win a championship. So can we at least get Daboll the Coach of the Year award?
He should. I mean, he had a lot to overcome. I mean, to be in New York with this fan base, you know, with this, the expectations that are already set on this culture is different. And so to do what he's done in 1 year, I think, the award should be his.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. And I think everybody, all Giants fans, are excited for what's to come. And obviously, Eagles are in your division. You play against them twice a year. But you guys also played against the Chiefs, and you've gone against Patrick Mahomes. So you know what it's like to be out there on the defensive side of the ball. You even made a play in that game against Mahomes. I want you to walk us through this play right here that you're able to make.
Yeah, so we were in the little red zone two here. I was up top with Tyreek Hill at the time. And this is what Mahomes does. He tries to make plays. He tried to fire one in there. It bounced off his own player's helmet. I think it was McKinnon. And when that ball goes in the air, every defender's eyes light up. Tips and overthrows, you got to get those. And so I beelined and beat some of my teammates for that ball.
What was it like, Sergeant? What was it like that prep, getting ready for not only Mahomes, but also Travis Kelce as a safety? You a lot of times match up with a tight end like him and their connection.
Yeah, so at the time, our game plan was to put hands on him at all times. I think with Kelce, you let him get to the top of his routes. That's when he succeeds because he's very physical. But you have to get him right from the jump. You got to press him, and you got to win that rep. And so we did a good job. Obviously, you have to spy him a little bit and know where he's at, because that's Mahomes' go-to guy. But then dealing with that, you deal with the plaster. I feel like you see a lot of teams that are lined up.
When you say plaster.
I don't know what that is. What's the
plaster is basically, as a defender, the progression of a route. So they have a route, whatever they run, but when the quarterback starts to scramble, they start to freestyle, and that's when it gets tough, because, you know, well, Mahomes, he can run, he can throw it across his body, the whole field's still available.
It's magic and worthy, right? Like, they just know where each other are, and they're able
exactly
to, it's
right.
No look, it's all that.
And so that's what Mahomes has made his money off of, is that, the plaster rule, guys, you know, coming back to the ball, guys going deep after a concept is over. And so that's what the Eagles have to face against this Chiefs offense. You got to defend the whole play, the whole time allotted.
So once the quarterback's out of the pocket, you can now put your hand on the guy, right? Because, like, you can have a little contact. So that's how you keep your eye on him and the quarterback at the same time?
Yes, and you have to just be – you can't lock into Mahomes. You know, I think you see a lot of people struggle with that, because you're like, okay, what's Mahomes going to do? And then you lose your guy. You're looking around, and then that panic sets in where you're like, where did my guy just go? And so Mahomes made some money off of that. Travis Kelce and him work so well together. And so, yeah.
As a fan watching that offense unfold, I know when I see Patrick Mahomes go out of the pocket, I'm like, crap. I can't imagine what it must be like on defense.
The worst. It's absolutely the worst. But we'll see how it goes, obviously, with his ankle, and we'll see how healed up that is. That's affected really a little bit of their offense, because he's not as mobile, but, you know, we'll see how these 2 weeks allow him.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the other quarterback in the Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts. You know all too well what it's like to try to contain him. What makes him so challenging to prepare for and then to guard as a play unfolds?
Yeah, so first and foremost, I think he's just a true leader. He is a guy who, you know, has the respect of his team. You can see that offense, defense, he really has led the front there. But he's made good decisions. You know, I think that's something that he's taking the next step at. He can run the ball, obviously, everyone knows that. He has a dynamic arm, he can make all the throws, all that stuff. But it's also his decision-making that has made the difference this year. He has talent all around him.
Yeah.
The running backs, one of the best O-lines, I think, in the country, in the league. Dynamic duo at receiver. And so, I mean, just making clean decisions. And this offense is just a tear right now.
You guys were preparing for them. I mean, it's like, we played them twice. We're in a playoff game. And it was 38-7. And it's like, it felt like from the start. So all that preparation, sometimes that offensive line and that running game just gets going. And it's like...
Yeah. This offense is one of the fastest starting offenses. This team is one of the fastest starting teams in the league. Probably the top fastest starting team. I mean, you see the 49ers game, like it's close, and all of a sudden it's 21-7, 28-7, whatever it was. They just start fast. That second quarter, they're elite at jumping out in front of a lead, and it's because they can do so much. That run game is crazy because you're focusing on really Hurts first.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, wait, the running back.
The guy in motion.
You got to, Gainwell, you got Boston Scott. Obviously, Miles Sanders is the lead guy. I mean, it's just a dynamic offense, and you can't really prep for it because you have to prep for everything they could do.
They led the league in opening drive touchdowns this past season. They had nine of them, so that's one way to lean on your ground a pound. And why fly when you can drive, right? Listen, you had a remarkable season yourself. Led the Giants in tackles. You stepped in admirably too when Xavier went down with a hand injury, and all of a sudden you're rocking the green dot and you're telling everybody where to go. So, in that light, now we talked about Jalen Hurts, but let's talk about the receivers. All right, let's talk about AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. How are those two guys different, and what was kind of your game plan when you guys were trying to slow them down?
I'll start off by saying our game plan didn't work. It was very clear.
Leading with humility is very admirable.
So Devontae Smith, he got me twice this year on deep ball because he's just, unassumingly, he is just so fast and he's so quick and he has a wide range. And then A.J. Brown is just a physical receiver. He's the one that demands the number one corner follow him because of his physicality. But they work so well together and they line them up in certain positions to succeed. And so maybe you can adjust to that, but they're just dynamic.
Kyle Brandt is usually sitting in that chair. We sent him to the desert in Las Vegas for the weekend. So he's here, though. He wants to ask you a question about personalities in the league. What's up, Kyle?
Julian, love to see you. Love you. I tell you, if you want a Rihanna song for that playoff game, it's SOS, please. Someone help me. I say that out of respect, of course. I love you. You guys had a great season. Julian, Nick Sirianni, coach on the other side, fiery, likes yelling at his own fan, not afraid to go after the officials, his own players, sometimes opposing players. I asked you this as a guy who played for Brian Kelly in college, also fiery. What do you make of Sirianni's act, that kind of coach, the sort of screamer coach, the intense kind of guy? You like that?
I don't know if I like it, but I respect it, I guess. You know, he's a guy who really is doing a good job because he's not getting his in the way of his team. He has an experienced roster from top to bottom, offense, defense.
You see this stuff, though? Like, what's your reaction as a player and that guy's doing that?
I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like it at all. I mean, he's in for a free ride right now. You guys can coach this team and they can succeed.
That's how a bulletin board right there.
I mean, come on.
He might not be suiting up for the Eagles anytime soon, but that's okay. There's 31 other teams. That's fine.
That's fine. That's right. Exactly right. But they have a talented roster and he's just doing the best thing he could do. I think it's a players league and he's just taking a step back and letting his team play.
Julian, you did it. You got through all of our questions that we had to talk about the Eagles for. You're good now. We can go to the next segment. I know. We'll ask you other things that are not related to your division rival, all right? Yeah, okay, I know.
Okay. Listen, we're giving all kinds of questions to you. We've got a game coming up, but I want to take a moment to just talk about you right now. Yeah. You're going to be a free agent, all right? Mm. Exciting time for players. I think players, look, you aspire to get drafted, and then once you get drafted, you become a starter, and you get all that. You become you're a captain this year, and then it's like, okay, I want that second contract. That's a big part of every player's career. First and foremost, do you want to be a New York Giant?
I do. You know, this culture, this fan base has been great for me and my family. And so, yeah, I want to finish what I started. You know, my first season, we were 4-12. Now we had, you know, our first playoff win in a while. I want to keep climbing that. I think that's a natural progression for everybody. But, you know, it is a business, you know, at the end of the day. So we'll see where the chips lie.
No doubt about it. That second contract, that's buy mom a house money. Like, that's what you aspire to be when you're a young kid. So I love it. Like, Giants, you've been there. How many head coaches have been there since you've been?
Three different head coaches.
Shermer?
Three different coaches in four years.
Like, you're the guy that you want to keep. Come in, earn a captain in your last year, balling out. And not only has Dable come in and stabilized that franchise and organization, but he brought in a guy like Wink Martindale. Mm-hmm. And when I watch you guys on defense as a former DB, I'm fired up because there's DBs everywhere, blitzing, covering. How was that challenge of learning his system and everybody buying in and having fun doing it?
Yeah, so first, for a DB, it's not for the faint of heart. Yeah. And, you know, you're pressuring a lot. You're in a lot of crucial situations and a lot of positions where you have to win. Mm-hmm. It's just you and the receiver or you and whoever you're going against. And so that's one thing. But Wink unlocks something in players that he plays to your potential and your strengths. And so, you know, I was in the line. I was lined up in the A gap, B gap. I was at tackle, at corner, in the slot, all over the place. He does a lot of unorthodox things. But he's just a great guy. You know, it keeps it clear with you, very transparent, and he's somebody that people want to play for. And so, thankfully, I got Wink Martindale in my fourth season.
He's a sneaker freak, too. Cool. Right? He loves his J's.
Oh, yeah, he loves his J's on the golf course, in the building. Yeah, he keeps them on deck.
Wink is great. So are some of those other defensive players in that roster. I look at Dexter Lawrence's breakout year. I look at Thibodeau as a rookie. Like, this Giants defense is coming. You were the captain. Mm. As a captain of a defense, what does that mean for responsibilities? And if there are teams watching and saying, oh, Julian loves a free agent, like, what do you bring to a team if you were to come?
Yeah, so from day one, you know, minus this year, all the production I've had, I think it's just being clear in your goals and just being someone people can depend on. You know, on the field, off the field, I've always been somebody I feel like players can come to. And so when I got the C, you know, I was voted, whatever, I just knew I had to be myself because I was somebody who people can always rely on. And on top of that, you know, when you have the C on your chest, there is expectation you just play better. I think that's something us as captains, you know, set the standard for, like, hey, the people at this table in this room, we have to play well for us to do well. That's just a
Who are that table? Who are the Giants?
At the table, so I mean, Saquon, Daniel Jones, Andrew Thomas, Dexter Lawrence, Leonard Williams, Suts, Xavier McKinney, Graham Gano, yeah, Casey Kreider, Cam Brown. I don't think I'm forgetting any. Also, we had a lot. So 10. We had 10.
It was a big
captain's room. But if you think about it, all phases of the game were involved in that, yeah. And everyone played well this year. And so that's what it had to be, you know, for a team to succeed.
One of those captains you just mentioned, Daniel Jones, the goalposts have moved a lot for the definition as to why he should be given a long-term contract with the Giants. In your eyes, the way he played this season, why did that qualify him to be another guy for the Giants to bring back and have him be their guy moving forward?
I'm a big Daniel Jones fan because I've been there firsthand to see his work ethic. We were drafted together in 2019. He's the first, and this is not a cliche, this is not a kidding thing. He's the first one in the building and the last one to leave every day. Off days, you can guarantee.
Is it true that he was there his whole bye week?
I think so, yeah. So he
like, I don't know, because it was the bye week.
I know, but he, there was a report that like, he was there.
I was on the beach in Miami.
Right, exactly.
I was on the beach in Miami.
I was on the beach in Miami. He was in the building. But that's who he is. And so, you know, to be in New York with this amount of pressure on you, with the amount of clout you can have, he's the perfect guy for it because he's, one, talented. He's done a great job of managing the games this year. He has all the tools in the trade, could throw every ball, can run, all that stuff. He's tough. But he's not somebody who lets it all get to his head. He's somebody who really is dedicated to his craft, and I think that's what this city needs.
I love that. Going into the 2021 season, Judge was there. I go on a visit to meet with the Giants, players, staff, and all of that stuff. Daniel Jones happens to be in the building. He comes in towards the end of my visit. We sit down for 15 minutes. He's asking me, hey, you're going into your 13th year. How did you do it? How was you a leader and all of these things? And I'm like, I just met this young kid.
I'm a free agent.
He doesn't know me, and he's coming in here picking my brain about how I've had longevity within the league. So a credit to him, and it was awesome as a fan of football just to see his rise this season.
Yeah, I feel like Daniel Jones, he wants to be great. He's asking all those questions, and it reminds me of another guy that wants to be great. I remember Saquon, his rookie year, talking to some of the guys, and they were like, dude, Saquon asks a million questions. He just wants to know how to be great. So let's talk about Saquon Barkley. Similar to you, now he's looking for a new contract as well. How important is he to this Giants team, and what did you see from him this year? You've been with him pretty much your whole career, right? So what did you see differently this year from him?
I mean, he had that fire in his eyes from day one. You know, it's always a testament to a player when they how they respond to injuries, adversity, and all that stuff. He's been the best of the best at it, I thought. You know, since OTAs, since training camp, he's competing at everything. He's the most competitive person I know, ever. Whether it's ping pong, whether it's golf, that dude's trying to win everything. And you can see he was trying to get it. He realized his back was against the wall. He had something to prove this year, and I thought he proved it.
Real quick, Thibodeau comes in as a first-round pick. Everyone thinks he's a big talker. He is a talker, but there was a different version of him that we saw this season. I think a lot of Giants fans and people in the New York market expect it. Just quickly, the 30 seconds on Kayvon Thibodeau, what you saw.
Man, I had to get it took me a minute to get adjusted to who he was as a person. He's a different dude for sure. He's as confident as they come. He's talented. I think it took him a little bit, then he found kind of his way. But yeah, he can talk the talk, but I believe he can walk the walk as well. He's kind of a freak athlete. He's really dedicated to his craft. You see him always working his moves as a pass rusher. But yeah, he's a unique dude for sure.
Would you ever go no shirt underneath walking into a game?
No.
Game day attire.
I walk in with some sneakers on, jeans, and a white t-shirt to a game, and so I'm a little different in that regard. With a nice hat with a feather on top. No, that's not me. But yeah, he pulls it off, I guess.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Did you catch Season 3 of This is Digital? Season 3 of This is Digital goes behind the scenes to reveal how digital trends show up in everyday decisions and actions, including digital lessons from the EV revolution and the chief digital officer's role in disruption and culture. Featuring guests like Ekta Chopra of Elf Beauty and Tyson Jomini of JD Power. Do you have a digital mindset? Find out by checking out the latest and greatest on Season 3 of This is Digital and learn more at westmonroe.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.